Good morning, Bethany family, and welcome to our time of worship together. We hope that everyone enjoyed a wonderful Thanksgiving as we continue to give thanks for God's many blessings. Let us join together in prayer. Father God, we come before you today with thankful hearts for all that you provide for us each and every day. We begin the celebration of Advent, a time of expectant waiting, hoping, and preparing. Father, our expecting and hoping has taken on a meaning this year unlike any before, as we yearn for normality, for safety, for peace. As we enter this time of worship, fill our hearts with the comfort of your Spirit and the assurance that you did indeed enter this world to give us the peace and hope which we so desperately need. Be with us now. Amen. Listen to these, prophetic words from Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let us stand and worship together in these Advent hymns, O come, Emmanuel, and lift up your heads. Please stand.
Come for us, for all mankind, as we are reminded in this song, he has come for us.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. He From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. He has come for us, this Jesus. He's the hope for all mankind. He has come for us, the Messiah, born to
seated. Emmanuel means God with us in every circumstance. He is with us in our hopes, in our fears, in our struggles. He is with us in every detail of our lives because once he has entered our hearts, he will never let us go, and he watches over us in all things.
Almighty, there
And although we cannot extend a hug or a handshake, we can certainly stand in our pew and give a wink and a wave. So to those who are at home or in your car, these waves and winks are for you too. So please stand and turn and wave and wink at someone.
Well, good morning. You'll notice that at the moment our tree looks a little bare, but we're going to do the hanging of the greens tonight, or at 4 o'clock today, and put some ornaments on. And you may have noticed that the ornaments that we put on the Christmas tree are a little different than maybe the ones you have at home. The ones we put on, we call them chrismons, which is short for Christ's monogram or Christ's initials. So they're supposed to be representative of Jesus Christ. And I brought one with me that I made today. And it has it's the Tau cross, which looks like a T, and then it has a snake on it, right? So everybody has a snake on their Christmas tree, right? Possibly not. Well, it refers to a passage from John's Gospel, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, if you've ever gone to, maybe not, well, you go to some drugstores and you'll see that the sign for the drugstore is a staff with two serpents. So the serpent is actually an ancient symbol of healing, which might seem odd, but when you think about it, okay, so if you have a poisonous snake and you get bitten, the cure for that is anti-venom. So you take a little bit of what could hurt you and you inject it into an animal or a person, and that little bit stimulates your body to make antibodies, and then from that blood they make what heals the sickness. And so we kind of, in the Old Testament, it talks about how the people were being bitten by snakes, and God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and anyone who was bitten could look up at it and they would be healed, which is kind of like anti-venom when I think about it. And so I thought, well, you know, this might be a good representation. This might be what we need in 2020. We're all waiting for a vaccine. And the same way you make anti-venom is kind of the same way you make a vaccine. You know, you take a little bit of the dead virus and it encourages your body to make antibodies to fight the disease. So I thought our little snake guy would be a good chrismon to start out with, and a reminder that Jesus is the healer, that we can look up to Jesus Christ and we can be healed. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the healing we have from Jesus Christ. You know that we are all waiting and praying for that day when we can have life that seems more normal, with hugs and handshakes and all of those good things. Lord, we pray for a vaccine, but we remember in your time, may we receive healing from your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and his words give me hope. O people, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and within him is great power to redeem. May the God of the power leave, so that we may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. We gather around the Advent wreath in anticipation of the coming of the Christ child. Let us open our hearts to one another as we wait. Today we light the first candle, the candle of hope. In times of darkness and despair, come Lord Jesus, so we might have hope.
This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director who tried his hardest to just keep it all together. The glory of Christmas.
I am the longest running cast member of the Nativity Ensemble of our church. Well, I don't like to mention it, but I am a formerly trained prodigy of the theater arts.
Having Dan as part of our cast is fantastic.
Lord, I am surely blessed beyond measure.
Okay, good. Let's do it again, but this time with more emotion, okay? Hey, I want you to Meryl Streep this up, okay?
You got it.
Dan thinks he's helping, but all he does is compare everything to Meryl Streep.
Tony, I need you to channel your inner Meryl.
My dear Mary,
stop.
It is...
Just, I need to Meryl this over for a minute. Oh, this is no way to treat your actors. Meryl would have seen this and walked immediately.
Really, Dan? Because this potato salad looks so Meryl right now.
Suddenly, the most splendiferous heavenly being appeared to my cohorts and me.
Stick to the script, please.
Okay, Joel, it's called The Glory of Christmas. I think the shepherds deserve a little more poetic language, don't you think?
It's the Bible, Dan. God may beg to differ with you.
By day, I make a living as an accountant, but a dedicated one. But a dedicated actor must lose themselves and fully become the character.
Do you have any questions for me at all?
What's that smell?
Green pastures. Green pastures, Annette. I am so method. I haven't bathed in a month.
You really need to take a bath.
I can't. These shepherds were society's misfits. They were... Sure, transfixed by a choir of angels, but also amazed that God had chosen them. They were the scrawny kid in PE. The nerd who went alone to the prom. They were the glee club president. Twice. They were the least of these. God asked me to be the keeper of the most important message that's ever been kept. To tell everyone that he sent the greatest gift ever, the Prince of Peace. The lowest in the land is given the highest honor.
What's that smell?
Our scripture lesson comes from Isaiah 7:14. It's to be read as responsive, so please join me. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and they should name him Emmanuel. When the time came for the purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present them to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male should be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the creation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simon took in him his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
So our theme through Advent this year is rediscovering Christmas. We could definitely use a little Christmas, a little bit of hope and peace and joy and love. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have heard your scripture read. We have been reminded of the story of the coming of your Son. Lord, be with us in our meditation. Be with us in our hearts, in our hope, so that we may come to have the mind in us that is in Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. Well, our scripture, our second scripture this morning, the one from the second chapter of Luke, you know, that kind of comes after the birth of Jesus. So we're going in a little bit different order this year. But in some ways it seems appropriate. I can relate to Simeon and to Anna. You know, every generation has its "where were you when" moments. You know, the big moments when everything seems to shift. We're sort of, our settled worldview becomes changed forever. You know, for a generation before me, it was "where were you when JFK, when you heard that JFK had been shot?" Or for my generation, "where were you when Martin Luther King Jr. was shot?" Or "where were you when you heard about the space shuttle Challenger?" Or "where were you when the towers fell on 9/11? And while those events may predate some of us, we all have a new one that we can share, unfortunately. Where were you when you first realized that the coronavirus was real, that it had come to America, that it had come to us? And I can tell you, for me, what day it was. You know, it was March 10th. I was driving back from my dad's house after he had passed away, and I heard on the radio that there were four people in the county that he had lived in that were tested positive for the coronavirus. And so that was sort of my, oh, it's here, it's real. And you know, a lot of these "where were you when" moments are negative things. They're, you know, catastrophes or tragedies, the things that strike without warning, the things that we didn't expect to come, and they cause uncertainty in our lives. You know, if that doesn't describe 2020, I don't know what does, because this is the year that we're never going to forget. We've been living in the midst of a global pandemic for 8 months, and we've seen an economic recession, we've seen climbing unemployment, political division, cultural upheaval, racial tension, wildfires, and a record number of named storms. Did I miss anything? I think I got them all. So it's no wonder that a new word has come into our vocabulary: doom scrolling. You know, when you start to, you know, check your phone to see if you have any messages or any texts, and then, you know, you get an alert about maybe how infections are up, and then you see that there's something about a new mask mandate, and then that an old business is closing down. And before you know it, you've just been scrolling through bad news, one bad news story after another. But it's terrible for our mental health. It's terrible to get sucked into that. And even though it's been a tough year, here we are in Advent, this time of expectation and hope, and we need it. We need it so much. If there's ever a year we need Christ, this is the year we need to know Jesus. And it's a good thing that we've made it here to Advent, to this time when we anticipate good news. We want to welcome the good news into our lives. And even though I'm starting in an unusual place, it's not a build-up to the birth. It's a reminder of what the birth of Jesus Christ meant to people in that time. We have these two elders in the church. We have Anna and Simeon. And, you know, they are, we know that Anna has been a widow for years and years and years, and Simeon seems to be of advanced years too. And yet they have been patiently waiting. And they lived in a difficult time. You know, during the time of Jesus, the world, well, this little slice of the world, Israel, Judah, they have been under domination for almost 1,000 years. You know, there was the Assyrian Empire that conquered them, and then the Babylonians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. So they have been invaded and conquered and subjugated by all of these enemies, generation after generation. But there's also been this promise that a Messiah is going to come and make things right. This Messiah is going to come and bless humanity and restore all that has been messed up, all that's gone wrong. It's the fulfillment of God's covenant that he made with Abraham. And so here are these people who have been waiting. They've been told by the Holy Spirit that they will not, or Simeon is told that he will not die before he sees the coming of the Messiah. And so they're waiting. And Anna is a prophet, it says, and Anna knows that something good has been coming. She has been in the temple all of this time, praying and fasting and waiting patiently. And yet we know there's a flip side of this patient waiting. We know in the Hebrew scripture that many times the people say, "How long, O Lord, how long must we wait? How much more time is going to pass?" But Simeon and Anna, they still hope, even though they've spent nearly a lifetime waiting. They have seen and experienced many things, but they remain faithfully devoted for God, watching and looking out, knowing that God is going to do great things. And did you notice that in Luke's account, Simeon and Anna, they are not surprised when Mary and Joseph show up with Jesus for the rites of purification. They are not surprised. Now, a lot of other people have been a bit surprised or taken aback. When Zechariah hears that his wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby and they're going to call him John and he's going to announce the Messiah, he is not impressed. He doubts. Or Mary, when the angel comes to see her, she says, "How can this be? What is going on?" And Joseph in Matthew's gospel struggles as well. But not Simeon and Anna. These two giants in the faith were ready for the coming of the Messiah. They were tuned in and waiting and watching and expecting something good. They knew, they had hope that God was going to do something incredible, amazing. And so they say, "The Messiah is here," and they rejoice and celebrate, and the people around them get new hope, including Mary and Joseph, who are probably still figuring out what it means to be the earthly parents of the Son of God, of Jesus the Messiah. Hope sees beyond its present circumstances. Hope is the fuel of faith and dreams and possibilities. Hope is that whisper that says, maybe, just maybe, we're going to turn the corner and good things are going to happen. In Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 8, he writes, "Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Hope precedes the present reality. Hope, by its very necessity, exists in uncertainty. It exists in questions. It even exists in doubts. But hope is the willingness and desire to believe beyond what our present circumstances and reality are presenting us with. As we approach the birth of Christ, we are reminded that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ becomes the embodiment and fulfillment of hope coming into the world. And while Jesus came more than 2,000 years ago, through the Holy Spirit, God is still with us today. At times, it may be hard for us to locate God's presence in the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of this strange reality we never expected to find ourselves in. But then I remember what God says to Jeremiah. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I think about that. I think about a man, Tom Moore, Captain Tom Moore. Well, now he's Captain Sir Tom Moore, since he was knighted by the Queen of England. But you might have heard about him already. He's the 100-year-old man who single-handedly raised the equivalent of $22 million for the National Health Service in Britain. Now, he was getting ready to turn 100, and he was supposed to have a birthday party with 100 guests at it. But the pandemic changed all of that. Well, his son-in-law challenged him to do laps around his garden and maybe, you know, donate a pound for a British pound for every lap that he made around his garden. And so he wanted to do it as a thank you because the National Health Service took care of him when he was recovering from cancer and a broken hip. But then his daughter posted his campaign on the internet on an online charity site, and the news spread quickly, and suddenly everybody saw this picture of this this World War II veteran gripping his walker, wearing his blue blazer with his war medals on it, and making those laps around his garden, and he inspired people, and so people donated. He became a national hero. He was an inspiration to people in the midst of a difficult time. And it was an amazing story, 100 laps by this 100-year-old man who says he wants to travel the world once the pandemic is over. And that is a great lesson in hope. But here the thing that he told reporters. "The first step was the hardest," he said. "After that, I got into the swing of it and I kept on going. The first step was the hardest." Isn't that true of so many things that we have to deal with? Isn't that true of hope? It can be hard to lift up our eyes and look for that tiny spark of hope when we feel like we're overwhelmed by our circumstances. It can seem so difficult to reach beyond our troubles and grasp our Lord's outstretched hand. It can feel so impossible to take that first step towards help, towards hope, when we are weighed down in uncertainty. But we can find hope in the arrival of Jesus Christ. We can draw hope from God's faithfulness in fulfilling the promises he made so long ago to Abraham to always be our God if we would be his people. That long-awaited promise of the Messiah reminds us that we can hope that God is in the midst of this with us, that Jesus Christ is our Emmanuel. And there will come a time when there will be full restoration in the midst of whatever life is throwing at us. We can experience the hope of God, the hope of God's Spirit with us, carrying us, strengthening us, emboldening us to do what needs to be done, to take the next step in faith. And I hope that as we go through this Advent season, that you will take a step towards hope, that you will remember hope is dawning. Christ is coming. Christ will come again. Let's welcome Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives every day as we move through this season of Advent, for he is our expectation and our hope. Amen. Well, coming into the sanctuary this morning, it was like elves had been at work decorating the sanctuary and the windows, although I know it wasn't elves, it was Nancy. And so thankful for all the people, for those who put up the tree and made everything look so wonderful. So thankful for the time that was donated and for the resources that have been given. Let us pray. Gracious God, I give you thanks for all who have been at work in your church. Lord, I give you thanks for all of those who have prayed for this congregation. I give you thanks for all of those who have worked and given of their time, who have given of their tithe. We thank you for all of that. Lord, in this time of giving thanks, we are so thankful that you have drawn us together into the body of Christ. Continue to strengthen us and be with us in all that we do. Amen. We have a couple of announcements. The Bethany Post Office is open, a little different than usual. There's a box out there you can drop your cards in, and they'll be sorted out. For people who can't come to the church and pick up their cards, we will work in for with Miss Julie to have a delivery service. You can look at more of that in the happenings, but please have your cards at the church before or by December 20th, and we'll get those sorted out. And any donations that are made for delivery costs or just delivery will go to the youth fund. Also, this afternoon at 4:00, we'll have the hanging of the greens. We encourage you to come and help us decorate the tree. We'll be singing carols with masks on outside, so an exciting chance to actually sing and not just hum. Kathleen Stump will be leading us outside. Then we'll have groups coming in, family groups coming in and putting up decorations. And we have some prepackaged snacks and a book for kids. So invite you to come out for that at 4:00. We are working on the Bethany Family Christmas Special on video. And we'd like, it's kind of like what we did at Easter with people sending out greetings and saying hello to the Bethany family for Easter. We'd love to do the same or a similar thing for Christmas. So if you can make a little video or say something about what Christmas means to you, give it to Danny Mortlock and she will put it all together. And I'm thinking probably if you do a video, do it in landscape. Yes, do it landscape, not like this, not like that. And I remember, our Easter video was wonderful. So please send in a greeting. Want to say congratulations. To Jack Bridges, who was elected a delegate to annual conference. He's a district delegate. So congratulations to him for that, and look forward to seeing him at conference. Any other announcements? Do we have any prayer concerns this morning? I don't see any coming in by text. So let us pray. Loving God, divine creator, we come to you this morning and we are in need of hope. We need a hope infusion. But we know that through you we have hope in a new day, in a time of healing. We ask that where there is division, you would draw us together. Lord, there may have been times when we have not seen the image of Christ in one another, But Lord, open our eyes and help us to see that stamp and spark of the divine that is in each one of us. Lord, help us to see with God-enlightened eyes. Give us ears to hear one another when we speak. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this great gift, your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to prepare ourselves to welcome him into our lives, into our hearts, and into all that we do. We pray this morning for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them hope in the power of the resurrection. We pray healing upon those who are in need of healing. And we pray for hope for those who may feel like they've lost it, lost all hope in the future. Gracious God, give us strength. Give us the power to continue on. We thank you for all of those who work without praise, without thank you, but work for the good of us all. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, hum along while we hear O Little Town of Bethlehem. Stand for the closing benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.